verse 212.
سَلْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ كَمْ آتَيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ بَيِّنَةٍ وَمَنْ يُبَدِّلْ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ.
Ask the children of Israel, how many clear signs we gave them. But whoso changes the gift of Allah after it has come to him, surely then Allah is severe in punishing. Footnote 253. This does not mean that God is unnecessarily severe in punishment, but that divine punishment is bound to be felt severely.
Verse 213.
زُيِّنَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ.
The life of this world is made to appear attractive to those who disbelieve, and they scoff at those who believe. But those who fear God shall be above them on the day of resurrection, and Allah bestows His gifts on whomsoever He pleases, without reckoning.
Verse 214. وَمُنذِرِينَ وَأَنزَلَ مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فِيمَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ فِيهِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوهُ مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ فَهَدَى اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ بِإِذْنِهِ وَاللَّهُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ.
Mankind were one community. Then they differed among themselves. So Allah raised prophets as bearers of good tidings and as warners, and sent down with them the book containing the truth, that He might judge between the people wherein they differed. But then they began to differ about the book, and none differed about it except those to whom it was given, after clear signs had come to them, out of envy towards one another. Now has Allah, by His command, guided the believers to the truth in regard to which they, the unbelievers, differed. And Allah guides whomsoever He pleases to the right path. Footnote 254. Before the advent of a prophet, all men are like one people, in the sense that they are all unbelievers. But when a prophet appears, they, in spite of their mutual differences, form one united front against him. The expression, "mankind were one community," or identical words, have been used, besides the present verse, at seven places in the Quran. In chapter 10, verse 20, chapter 21, verse 93, and chapter 23, verse 53, they signify national unity. And in chapter 5, verse 49, chapter 16, verse 94, chapter 42, verse 9, and chapter 43, verse 34, and in the verse under comment, identity of ideas. Footnote 255. The difference referred to in the verse at two separate places signifies two different kinds of disagreement. Before the advent of a prophet, people differ among themselves about their idolatrous practices. But after his appearance, they begin to differ with regard to his claims. The prophet does not create differences. The differences are already there. They merely assume a new form after his appearance. Before a prophet appears, the people, in spite of their mutual differences, look like one people. They become divided into two distinct camps, believers and disbelievers, after he appears. Viewed collectively, the verse describes five different stages through which mankind has passed. In the beginning, there was unity among the people, all forming one community. With the increase in population and the extension of their interests and the complexity of their problems, they began to differ among themselves. Then God raised prophets and revealed his will. Every new revelation was made a cause of discord and differences, particularly by the people to whom the divine message was addressed. God finally raised the holy prophet with his last book and a universal mission, calling upon all humanity to rally round his banner. Thus, a circle was completed, and the world, which began with unity, is designed to end in unity.
Verse 215.
أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَنْ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ
Do you think that you will enter heaven while there has not come to you the like of that which came to those who passed away before you? Poverty and afflictions befell them, and they were violently shaken until the messenger and those who believed along with him said, When will the help of Allah come? Yea, surely the help of Allah is nigh. Footnote 256. Acceptance of the message of Islam was no bed of roses, and Muslims were warned that they would have to pass through fiery ordeals, trials, and tribulations before they could hope to achieve their sublime ideal. Footnote 256a. Hatta also means so that, Mughni. The word has also been used in this sense in chapter 63, verse 8. Footnote 257. The pathetic cry for help embodied in the words, When will the help of Allah come? Does not denote despair or despondency, because an attitude of despair on the part of a prophet of God and his followers is inconceivable, being inconsistent with true faith. Chapter 12, verse 88. The words in reality constitute a prayer, a way of earnestly beseeching God to expedite his help.
Verse 216.
يسألونك ماذا ينفقون قل ما أنفقتم من خير فللوالدين والأقربين واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ
They ask thee, what they shall spend. Say, whatever of good and abundant wealth you spend should be for parents and near relatives and orphans and the needy and the wayfarer. And whatever good you do, surely Allah knows it perfectly well. Footnote 258. The verse signifies that whatever is spent should have been honestly acquired. What is spent must be good also in the sense that it should be acceptable to the receiver and should satisfy his need, and that the object on which it is spent is also worthy and laudable.
Verse 217.
كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ
Fighting is ordained for you, though it is repugnant to you. But it may be that you dislike a thing while it is good for you, and it may be that you like a thing while it is bad for you. Allah knows, and you know not. Footnote 259. Muslims hated war, not because they were afraid of it, but because they did not like to shed human blood. Also, because they thought that a peaceful atmosphere was much more conducive to the spread and propagation of Islam than a state of war.